Call Mrs. Jones. I'm not sure we'll be able to make dinner tomorrow. I'll update her later.
Shall I turn the Gulf Stream around?
No, let them land in Savannah. Anna may want her mother here. I'll come back to you when I know more. I hang up. What to do? Taylor catches my eye. What is it? I ask.
Sir, I could drop you at the hospital, shop for your essentials, leave the shopping bags at your hotel, then fly back to Seattle with Stefan and bring the R8 down for Mrs. Gray so it's here tomorrow morning.
That's an idea. Let's see how her father is before we do anything, but yes, that's a good plan. You could also collect a few items for me, too.
Yes, sir.
Perhaps we'll have to reschedule Anna's birthday celebrations to later in the month. While I chew on that, I remember that Mia starts her new job today. I send her a quick good luck text as Taylor pulls up outside the main OHSU building. I gird my loins. In spite of my mother's chosen profession, I loathe hospitals. In the elevator, on my way to the OR floor, my phone buzzes with a text from Andrea. She's reserved my usual suite at the Heathman. A nurse at the reception desk on the third floor directs me to the waiting room. Taking a deep breath, I open the door. Inside the stark utilitarian room, I find Anna seated on a plastic chair. Pale, scared, and swamped in a man's leather jacket, she's clutching Jose Rodriguez's hand. His father sits in a wheelchair beside him.
Christian,
she cries. The relief and hope on her face as she leaps up to greet me extinguish the brief flash of jealousy that flared in my gut. When she's in my arms, I close my eyes and hold her close. She smells of apples and orchards and Anna, and the unmistakable aroma of cheap cologne and sweaty nights out. Jose's jacket? I wrinkle my nose and hope no one notices. Jose stands, but Jose Rodriguez Sr. remains in the wheelchair, looking pretty banged up. Shit. He must have been in the accident, too. Any news? I direct my question at Anna. She shakes her head. Jose? I nod a greeting while keeping hold of my wife. Sawyer is seated in the corner. He acknowledges me with a quick nod. I'm grateful that he's been here with Anna.
Christian, this is my father, Jose Sr., Jose says.
Mr. Rodriguez, we met at the wedding. You were in the accident, too? Gently, I shake his free hand.
We all were,
Jose replies.
We were driving to Astoria for a day's fishing.
His face hardens, and his fresh-faced boyishness disappears, revealing the menacing man beneath.
But we were hit by a drunk driver on the way. He totaled my dad's car. Miraculously, I was unharmed. My dad got beat up, but Ray...
He stops and swallows to collect himself, then, with a swift, anxious glance at Anna, continues.
He was bad. He was airlifted from Astoria Community Hospital to here.
I tighten my arm around Anna.
After they patched my father up, we followed.
He finishes, and I raise my brows in surprise. Mr. Rodriguez Sr. has a leg and an arm in casts, and one side of his face is bruised. He doesn't look fit to travel.
Yeah.
Jose shakes his head in exasperation, as if he can read my mind.
My dad insisted.
Are you both well enough to be here? I ask.
We don't want to be anywhere else.
Mr. Rodriguez's face contorts. He looks and sounds like he's in pain. Maybe they should go home. But I don't press them. They're here for Ray. Taking Anna's hand, I guide her back to one of the seats and sit down beside her.
Have you eaten?
She shakes her head.
Are you hungry?
She shakes her head.
But you're cold,
I ask, catching another whiff of Jose's jacket. She nods and wraps the offending garment more snugly around her. The door opens, and a man in scrubs enters, dark-haired, tall, and with a weary air of battle fatigue. His expression is grave.
Shit.
Anna stumbles to her feet, and I stand quickly to steady her. All eyes in the room are on the young doctor.
Ray Steele?
Anna says with quiet trepidation.
You're his next of kin?
The doctor asks.
I'm his daughter, Anna.
Miss Steele, Mrs. Gray,
I mutter, correcting him.
My apologies.
The doctor stammers.
I'm Dr. Crow. Your father is stable, but in critical condition.
Anna crumples in my arms as the doctor delivers each blow about Ray's condition.
He suffered severe internal injuries, principally to his diaphragm, but we've managed to repair them, and we were able to save his spleen. Unfortunately, he suffered a cardiac arrest during the operation because of blood loss. We managed to get his heart going again, but this remains a concern.
Jesus.
However, Dr. Crow continues, our gravest concern is that he suffered severe contusions to the head, and the MRI shows that he has swelling in his brain. We've induced a coma to keep him quiet and still while we monitor the brain swelling.
Anna gasps, sagging against me some more.
It's standard procedure in these cases. For now, we just have to wait and see.
And what's the prognosis? I ask, trying to mask the distress in my voice.
Mr. Gray, it's difficult to say at the moment. It's possible he could make a complete recovery, but that's in God's hands now.
How long will you keep him in a coma?
That depends on how his brain responds, usually 72 to 96 hours.
Can I see him?
Anna's breathless with anxiety.
Yes, you should be able to see him in about half an hour. He's been taken to the ICU on the 6th floor.
Thank you, doctor. Dr. Crow nods a goodbye and leaves us.
Well, he's alive,
Anna whispers, trying to sound hopeful, but tears pool in her eyes and spill down her ashen face.
No, Anna, baby.
Sit down, I tell her, easing her back to the seat.
Papa,
Jose says to his father,
I think we should go. You need to rest. We won't know anything for a while. We can come back this evening after you've rested. That's okay, isn't it, Anna?
Jose turns to Anna.
Of course,
she responds. Are you staying in Portland? I ask, and Jose nods.
Do you need a ride home?
Jose frowns.
I was going to order a cab.
Luke can take you. Sawyer stands while Jose looks confused.
Luke Sawyer,
Anna says.
Oh, sure, yeah, we'd appreciate it. Thanks, Christian.
Anna offers Mr. Rodriguez a careful hug and a less careful one to Jose. He whispers in her ear, but I'm close enough to hear.
Stay strong, Anna. He's a fit and healthy man. The odds are in his favor.
I hope so,
she replies, her voice distressingly small. Her words slice through me like a scythe, because there's nothing I can do to help. She shrugs off Jose's pungent jacket and hands it back to him. Thank God.
Keep it if you're still cold,
he offers.
No, I'm okay, thanks,
she says, and I take her hand.
If there's any change, I'll let you know right away.
Jose gives her a faint smile and wheels his father toward the door that Sawyer props open. Mr. Rodriguez raises his hand, and Jose stops.
He'll be in my prayers, Anna.
The older man's voice cracks.
It's been so good to reconnect with him after all these years. He's become a good friend.
I know,
Anna says, her voice strained with emotion. The three of them exit, and we're finally alone. I caress her cheek.
You're pale. Come here.
Taking a seat, I gather her onto my lap, folding my arms around her. She burrows into my chest and I kiss her hair. We sit, together, each of us with our own thoughts. What do I say to comfort her? I have no idea. I'm helpless and I hate it. Taking her hand, I offer her what I hope is a reassuring squeeze. Ray is a strong man. He'll pull through. He's got to.
How was Charlie Tango?
She asks eventually, and I marvel that even in this situation she's thinking of me. I think my spontaneous grin is answer enough. My EC-135 is back, and what a joy she was to fly. Oh, she was Yar. She smiles.
Yar?
It's a line from The Philadelphia Story, Grace's favorite film.
I don't know it. I think I have it on Blu-ray at home. We can watch it and make out.
Brushing my lips against her hair, I inhale her fragrance, sweeter now that Jose's jacket has left with him. Can I persuade you to eat something?
Not now. I want to see Ray first.
I don't push her.
How are the Taiwanese?
She asks, and I think she's steering the conversation to stop me from brooding about food. Amenable?
Amenable how?
They let me buy their shipyard for less than the price I was willing to pay.
That's good?
Yes, that's good.
But I thought you had a shipyard over here.
I do. We're going to use that to do the fitting out. Build the hulls in the Far East. It's cheaper.
What about the workforce at the shipyard here?
Good question, Mrs. Gray. We'll redeploy. We should be able to keep redundancies to a minimum. I hope. I kiss her once more. Shall we check on Ray? Raymond Steele is in the last bed in the ICU ward. It's a shock to see him out cold and hooked up to a range of high-tech medical equipment. This man intimidates me more than anyone I know, but right now he looks vulnerable and sick. Real sick. He's in an induced coma and on a ventilator. His leg is in plaster and his chest is wrapped in a surgical dressing. His modesty is protected by a thin blanket. Jesus. Anna is stunned when she sees him and blinks back tears of shock. Her anguish is hard to witness. What do I do? What do I say? I can't make this better for her. A nurse is checking his various monitors. Her badge identifies her as Kelly RN.
Can I touch him?
Anna asks, and she reaches for Ray's hand without waiting for a response.
Yes,
Kelly says kindly. Standing at the end of the bed, I watch as Anna carefully covers Ray's hand with hers. Abruptly, she sinks into the chair beside the bed, lays her head on his arm, and starts sobbing. Oh, no. I move quickly to comfort her.
Oh, Daddy, please get better.
She pleads quietly.
Please.
Feeling utterly fucking powerless, I place my hand on her shoulder and clasp it tightly, trying to offer her some reassurance.
All Mr. Steele's vitals are good,
Kelly says quietly. Thank you, I mutter, because I don't know what else to say.
Can he hear me?
Anna asks.
He's in a deep sleep, but who knows? Can I sit for a while? Sure thing.
Kelly gives Anna a warm smile. Anna is where she needs to be right now, and I should make arrangements for us to stay in Portland. There's no way we're going home tonight. I squeeze her shoulder once more, and she raises her eyes to mine. I need to make a call. I drop a kiss on her head. I'll be outside. I'll give you some alone time with your dad. From the sixth floor waiting room, I call my mother. This time she answers, and I update her on Raymond Steele's condition. She takes a deep breath.
It sounds critical. I want to come and see him.
Mom, you don't?
No, Christian, I want to. Anna is family. I have to come down and check on him myself. Carrick and I will drive down.
I can fly you down.
What?
My helicopter is here, but Taylor is taking it back to Seattle. Stefan can fly you down here.
That sounds good. Let's do that.
Okay, I'll let Taylor know and you can liaise with him.
I'll do that. Christian, Ray is in good hands.
Thanks, Mom. I call Taylor and let him know about my mother. Then I call Andrea.
Mr. Gray, how's Mr. Steele?
He's in serious condition. We'll be here for at least 2 nights. I'm going to have to do something for Anna's birthday here, if we do anything at all. Maybe a private dinner, if she's up to it. I'd like her family and our friends to attend, too, but we should see how Ray does during the night.
I can talk to the Heathmen and see if they'll accommodate a private dinner.
Good. Anna needs her mom, so let's bring her and her husband out as planned. Book rooms for them, for my folks, and the rest of our guests, and make provisional arrangements to get them here. My mother will be joining us this evening. Please book her into the Heathman tonight.
Will do.
Find out Jose Rodriguez's cell number. I'd like to invite him, too.
I'll text you.
Thanks, Andrea. I hang up and call Mrs. Jones to confirm that tomorrow's surprise dinner party at Escala is canceled.
I hope Mr. Steele makes a swift recovery,
Gail says. Yes, I do too. I'm sorry about tomorrow.
It's no trouble, Mr. Gray. There'll be another time.
There will. Thanks, Gail. I hang up and return to the ICU. At the nurse's station, I give Kelly my cell number and Anna's, with instructions to call us if there's a change in Ray's condition. It's time I took my wife for something to eat. When I return to Ray's bedside, Anna is talking to him, and her tears have ceased. She's composed, and her face shines with her love for the man out cold and prostrate beside her. It's an affecting sight, and I feel I'm intruding, but I don't want to go. Quietly, I take a seat and listen to her soft, sweet voice. She's asking him to come to Aspen, where I'll take him fishing. Her words tug at my heart. Anna is my family now, like my mother said, and by extension, so is Ray. I see us side by side, casting flies in the roaring Fork River or up on Snowmass Lake. Ray taciturn, me relaxed and equally taciturn, the two of us sharing a beer later.
Mr. Rodriguez and Jose will be welcome too. It's such a beautiful house. There's room for all of you. Please be here to do that, Daddy, please.
Okay, Ray, Jose Sr., Jose, and me fishing together. Yes, I could do that. She turns and notices me. Hi, I murmur.
Hi.
So I'm going fishing with your dad, Mr. Rodriguez and Jose? She nods. Okay. I smile in agreement. Let's go eat. Let him sleep. Anna frowns, and I know she doesn't want to leave her father. Anna, he's in a coma. I've given our cell numbers to the nurses here. If there's any change, they'll call us. We'll eat, check into a hotel, rest up, then come back this evening. She looks longingly at Ray, then back at me.
Okay.
She capitulates. Anna stands in the doorway of our suite at the Heathman, surveying the familiar room. She looks shell-shocked. Or perhaps she's remembering the first time I brought her here, though that's doubtful, as she was blind drunk at the time. I place her briefcase beside one of the sofas. Home away from home, I murmur. It was certainly home to me while I was pursuing Miss Steele to be my submissive. And now here we are, husband and wife. Finally, she enters and stands in the middle of the room, looking lost and forlorn. Oh, Anna, what can I do? Do you want a shower, a bath? What do you need, Anna? I'm desperate to help her in any way I can.
A bath, I'd like a bath,
she mutters. Bath, good, yes. I stride into the ensuite, relieved to have a purpose, and turn on the faucets. The water pours in, and I add some sweet-smelling bath oil, which instantly begins to foam. I slip out of my jacket and take off my tie as my phone buzzes. It's a text from Andrea with Jose's mobile number. I'll deal with that later. Anna's in the bedroom, staring at the Nordstrom bags when I re-enter. I sent Taylor to get some things, nightwear, you know. She nods but says nothing, her desolation obvious in her blank look. My heart yearns to take her pain away.
Oh, Anna, I've not seen you like this. You're normally so brave and strong.
She returns my gaze, mute and helpless. Slowly she crosses her arms, hugging herself as if caught in an icy draft, and I can bear it no more. I fold her into my embrace, offering her the warmth of my body. Baby, he's alive. His vital signs are good. We just have to be patient. She shudders, and I don't know if she's cold or if it's the shock of seeing Ray brought so low. Come. Taking her hand, I lead her into the bathroom, slowly undress her and help her into the bath. She fastens her hair in a gravity-defying bun, slips beneath the foam, and closes her eyes. I take it as my cue to undress and join her. Climbing in behind her, I settle into the hot water and pull her against my front, so we're both lying in the warm, soothing waters, her feet on mine. As time moves on, Anna relaxes against me. I let out a sigh of relief and allow myself a moment of respite from the dread that lingers in the pit of my stomach. I hope to God that Ray will be okay. Anna will fall apart if he's not, and I'm powerless to help. Idly, I kiss her hair, grateful that she can take a moment to unwind as she pops the bubbles in the foam.
You didn't get into the bath with Leela, did you? That time you bathed her?
She asks, out of the blue. No?
I thought so. Good.
Where is this coming from? Tugging her haphazard top knot of hair, I angle her head so I can see her face. I'm curious. Why do you ask? She shrugs.
Morbid curiosity? I don't know. Seeing her this week?
Hopefully you'll never see her again. I see. Less of the morbid.
How long are you going to support her?
Until she's on her feet. I don't know. Why?
Are there others?
Others? I ask.
Exes who you support?
There was one, yes. No longer, though.
Oh?
She was studying to be a doctor. She's qualified now and has someone else.
Another dominant?
Yes.
Leela says you have two of her paintings.
Anna mutters. I used to. I didn't really care for them. They had technical merit, but they were too colorful for me. I think Elliot has them. As we know, he has no taste. Anna giggles, and it's such a wonderful sound that I wrap both arms around her, with a little too much enthusiasm, and the bathwater slops over the sides and onto the floor with a satisfying splash. That's better. I kiss her temple.
He's marrying my best friend.
Then I'd better shut my mouth. I smile down at her and am rewarded with her answering smile. We should eat. Anna's face falls, but I'm not going to take no for an answer. I sit her up and clamber out of the bath, grabbing a robe as I do. You soak. I'm going to order some room service. Once I've ordered some food, I rummage through the shopping bags and change into fresh clothes. Taylor has done well. I like the black jeans and a gray cashmere sweater that he's chosen. In the living room, I unpack my laptop and fire it up to check emails. While I'm scrolling through them, I have an idea. From Christian Gray to Gray Carrick, September 9th, 2011, 1734. Drunk Driver, Astoria PD. Hi, Dad. Mom has probably told you that Raymond Steele was in an accident. His car was hit by a drunk driver this morning in Astoria. Ray is now in the ICU. Can you use your police department contacts to find out any information about the guy who hit him? Thanks. Christian Gray, CEO. I saunter back toward the bedroom and lean against the door frame, watching Anna search through the Nordstrom bags.
Apart from harassing me at Clayton's, have you ever actually gone into a store and just bought stuff?
She asks. Harassing you? I amble over to her, trying to hide my amusement. She half smiles.
Yes, harassing me.
You were flustered, if I recall. And that young boy was all over you. What was his name?
Paul.
One of your many admirers. She rolls her eyes, and I cannot help my smile. I plant a quick kiss on her lips. There's my girl. I knew she couldn't be far away. Get dressed. I don't want you getting cold again. Anna is not seduced by the food I ordered. She eats two fries and half a crab cake, but that's all. Sighing in disappointment, I watch her leave the table and head back into the bedroom. I know I can't force her to eat, but it worries me when she doesn't. While I debate what to do, I text Jose to invite him and his father to Anna's surprise birthday dinner if, and it's a big if, it goes ahead tomorrow, and if Jose Sr. is up for it too. At my laptop, I check emails. There's one from Carrick.
From Gray Carrick to Christian Gray, September 9th, 2011, 1742. Drunk driver, Astoria PD. Will do. Your mother should be in Portland now. Dad. Carrick Gray, partner. Gray, Kruger, Davis, and Holt, LLP.
This is good news. My mom should be with Ray by the time we're back at the hospital. When Anna returns to the living room, she's wearing a light blue hooded sweatshirt, chucks, and jeans.
Ready,
she murmurs. Maybe it's because she's sad and anxious and her face is pale, but she looks younger. But then she's still only 21.
You look so young, and to think you'll be a whole year older tomorrow,
I murmur. Her sad smile tears me in two.
I don't feel much like celebrating. Can we go see Ray now?
Sure. I wish you'd eat something. You barely touched your food.
Christian, please, I'm just not hungry. Maybe after we've seen Ray. I want to wish him good night.
Jose is leaving the ICU as we arrive.
Anna, Christian.
Hi. Where's your dad?
Anna asks.
He was too tired to come back. He was in a car accident this morning.
I think that's Jose's idea of a joke as he forces a grin.
And his painkillers have kicked in,
he continues.
He was out for the count. I had to fight to get in to see Ray since I'm not next of kin.
And?
Anna's voice cracks with anxiety.
He's good, Anna. Same, but all good.
She nods, relieved, I think.
See you tomorrow, birthday girl.
Hell, don't blow the surprise.
Sure. We'll be here,
Anna responds. Jose glances at me, then pulls her into a brief hug, closing his eyes as he holds her.
Mañana,
he whispers. Dude, are you still holding a torch for my wife? He releases her, and we wish him good night, watching him walk down the corridor toward the elevators. I sigh. He's still nuts about you.
No, he's not, and even if he is...
She shrugs. She doesn't care.
Well done,
she says.
What? For not frothing at the mouth?
She clarifies, her eyes sparkling with amusement. Even now she's making fun of me.
I've never frothed.
I try to sound offended, but her lips twitch in a slight smile, which was my intention. Let's see your dad. I have a surprise for you.
Surprise?
Come. I take her hand. My mother is standing at the end of Ray's bed, her head bowed, as she listens to Dr. Crow and a woman dressed in scrubs. Grace perks up when she sees us.
Christian.
She kisses my cheek, then hugs my wife.
Anna, how are you holding up? I'm fine. It's my father I'm worried about. He's in good hands. Dr. Sluder is an expert in her field. We trained together at Yale. Mrs. Gray.
Dr. Sluder shakes Anna's hand. She has a soft southern accent, her words sounding like a lullaby.
As the lead physician for your father, I'm pleased to tell you that all is on track. His vital signs are stable and strong. We have every faith that he'll make a complete recovery. The brain swelling has stopped and shows signs of decreasing. This is very encouraging after such a short time. That's good news,
Anna says, a little color returning to her cheeks.
It is, Mrs. Gray. We're taking real good care of him. Great to see you again, Grace. Likewise, Lorena. Dr. Crow, let's leave these good people to visit with Mr. Steele.
Crow follows Dr. Sluder out of the ward. Anna looks down at Ray, who is still sleeping peacefully. Grace takes her hand.
Anna, sweetheart, sit with him. Talk to him. It's all good. I'll visit with Christian in the waiting room. How's she doing?
Grace asks.
It's hard to tell. She's bearing up, but I know she's extremely anxious. She's normally so strong.
It must be a shock to her, darling. Thank heavens you're here with her.
Thank you for coming, Mom. What you said was really reassuring, and I'm sure it made a huge difference to Anna. Grace smiles at me.
You love her so.
I do.
What will you do for her birthday tomorrow?
I'm undecided, but I thought we might go ahead and have a low-key celebration here.
I think that's a good idea. I'll stay in Portland tonight. It's not often I get some time to myself.
Andrea has booked a room for you and Dad at the Heathman. She smiles.
Christian, you're so capable. You think of everything.
Her words spread like warm summer sunshine through my body. I strip out of my white t-shirt, and Anna grabs it and slips it over her head before climbing into bed. You seem brighter. I don my pajamas, pleased that Anna wants to wear my t-shirt.
Yes, I think talking to Dr. Sluter and your mom made a big difference. Did you ask Grace to come here?
Sliding into bed, I pull her into my arms, her back to my front. It's the best position to spoon with my girl. No, she wanted to come and check on your dad herself.
How did she know?
I called her this morning. Anna sighs. Baby, you're exhausted. You should sleep. She mumbles, then turns her head to look at me, frowning.
What?
She turns over and curls herself around me, her warmth permeating my skin as I stroke her hair. Whatever she was thinking about, it seems to have gone. Promise me something, I ask. Promise me you'll eat something tomorrow. I can just about tolerate you wearing another man's jacket without frothing at the mouth, but Anna, you must eat, please. She grunts in agreement, and I kiss her hair.
Thank you for being here.
She mumbles and kisses my chest.
Where else would I be? I want to be wherever you are, Anna.
Always. You are my wife, my family now, and family comes first. I stare up at the ceiling, remembering the first time we slept together in this room. So long ago, and yet not so long ago. It was a revelation. Sleeping with someone, sleeping with her. Being here makes me think of how far we've come, and the night I first slept with you. I whisper, what a night that was. I watched you for hours. You were just... Yar. I sense Anna's tired smile against my chest. Oh, baby. Sleep, I murmur. And it's not a request.
Saturday, September 10th, 2011. Grandpa Theodore hands me an apple. It's bright red and tastes sweet, of home and long, rich summers when the days went on forever. There's a light breeze on my face. It's cooling in the sunshine. We stand eye to eye in the orchard. His face sun-worn and weather-beaten, the etched lines in his skin telling a thousand stories. He reaches up, and a tremor runs through his hand. He's not as steady as he once was. Grandpa. He grasps my shoulder, his eyes hooded but still shining with wisdom and love. For me. I see it now.
Remember how we made the sweet apples when you were a boy?
I grin. They're still sweet. The trees are still giving. He smiles, his skin crinkling around his eyes.
Boy, you were an odd one. Wouldn't talk, awful shy. Now look at you. Master of your own universe. I'm proud of you, son. You done good.
The warmth of his words matches the warmth of the sun. Behind him, Mom, Dad, Elliot, Mia, and Anna are walking through the long, lush grass to join us with a blanket and a picnic basket. Anna laughs at something Mia says. She tips her head back, her hair free and catching the golden light. My mom joins in, laughing too.
It's all about family, boy. Always. Family first.
Anna turns and beams at me, the sunshine of her smile lighting me from within. My light, my love, my family. Anna. I wake, but before I open my eyes, I savor my contentment. All is right in the world. Everything is as it should be, and I know I'm enjoying the remnants of a now-forgotten dream. I open my eyes. Where am I? The Heathman. Shit, Ray. Grim reality intrudes, but I turn my head and am comforted to see Anna curled up beside me, still slumbering. From the light filtering through the curtains, I know it's early. I lie still for a moment, making a mental list of all that I need to do today. It's her birthday, and Ray is lying injured in the hospital. It will be a delicate balancing act to celebrate and commiserate all at once with her. I slip out of bed carefully. Don't wake the wife. When I'm showered and dressed, I move quietly into the living room and let Anna sleep. I have to make a decision on whether to proceed with Anna's birthday dinner, so my first task of the day is to call the ICU. I speak to one of Ray's nurses, who reports that he's spent a comfortable night and that his vitals are good. She then hands me over to the attending physician, who explains that all is as it should be, and we should remain optimistic. At this encouraging news and Dr. Sluder's report yesterday, I decide to go ahead with the dinner. In the meantime, I need her gifts, both of which are in Taylor's hands. I check my watch, 7:35 a.m., and text Taylor, who's staying somewhere in the hotel. Good morning. Do you have Anna's present?
Yes, sir. Shall I bring the box up?
Please, she's still asleep. A few moments later, there's a gentle tap on the door, and Taylor is his usual smart-suited self on the other side. Hello, I whisper, mindful of Sleeping Beauty. I prop the door open with my foot and join Taylor in the corridor.
Good morning, he says, whispering too. Here.
He places a beautifully wrapped package, all pale pink paper and satin ribbons, in my palm.
Nice wrapping. Your handiwork?
I raise a brow, and Taylor flushes.
For Mrs. Gray?
He mutters, and I know this is reason enough.
Here's the card that came with the box.
Thanks. I'm taking a gamble and going ahead with the small dinner party for Anna. We'll need to coordinate the arrival of our guests today.
Andrea has been keeping me up to date, and Sawyer is here. Between the two of us, I think we've got this, he says.
And we'll have the new car, so Anna and I won't need ferrying around.
I took the liberty of bringing both keys.
He holds up the R8 key.
The spare is with the valet.
Smart thinking. I slip the key into my pocket. I think we'll be at least an hour. I'll text you when we're ready to leave so you can bring the Audi around to the front.
I may not get a signal in the garage. I'll liaise with the concierge and he can call me at the valet station.
Okay, I'll give him a sign when we're in the foyer. How was she?
The R8?
I nod, and his broad grin tells me all I need to know. Great, I grin back. I'll see you later. He turns on his heel and I smile at his departing figure. Have I ever had a whispered conversation in a hotel corridor before? With Taylor? Ex-Marine? I shake my head at the ridiculousness of the two of us and step back inside the suite. When I check on Anna, she's still out for the count. I'm not surprised. She must be shattered from yesterday. I have time to email Andrea. From Christian Gray to Andrea Parker, September 10th, 2011, 7:45. Anna's birthday dinner. Good morning, Andrea. I want to go ahead with the surprise dinner for Anna. Please confirm with the hotel and organize a cake, chocolate. Keep me informed about the travel arrangements for everyone. Sawyer and Taylor are here, so we'll be able to do airport pickups. Coordinate with them. Thanks. Christian Gray, CEO. What else do I need to do? Sitting down at the desk with Anna's gift in my hand, I stare at the blank card. Fortunately, I know exactly what I want to say. For all our firsts on your first birthday as my beloved wife, I love you. See, kiss. I slide the card into its envelope and turn to my laptop. Anna will want something a little dressier for dinner, and bearing in mind what she said yesterday, I'd rather pick a dress for her myself than send Taylor. I check out the Nordstrom website and discover that the local store has a buy and pick up service, and it's 2 blocks from the Heathman. Perfect. I start browsing. 20 minutes later, I've purchased everything Anna will need. I hope she likes my choices. I text Taylor to let him know, and he texts me back that he'll send Luke to Nordstrom when we're out visiting Ray. Time to wake Anna. She stirs as I sit down on the edge of the bed and opens her eyes, blinking in the morning light. For a moment she looks relaxed and well-rested, but abruptly her expression changes.
Shit, Daddy!
She exclaims in alarm.
Hey.
I stroke her cheek so that she looks directly up at me. I called the ICU this morning. Ray had a good night. It's all good. She thanks me as she sits up, looking relieved. Leaning in, I kiss her forehead and, closing my eyes, inhale her scent. Sleep and Anna. Delectable. Good morning, Anna. I kiss her temple.
Hi.
Hi. I want to wish you happy birthday. Is that okay? Her smile is uncertain, but she caresses my cheek, her eyes bright with sincerity.
Yes, of course. Thank you for everything.
Everything?
Everything,
she says with conviction. Why is she thanking me? It's bewildering, but I'm anxious to give her my gift, so I ignore the feeling. Here. Anna's eyes dart to mine, shining with excitement as she takes the package and opens the card. Her expression softens as she reads it.
I love you too.
I grin. Open it. Returning my smile, she unravels the ribbon and gently removes the wrapping paper, revealing the Cartier leather box. Her eyes widen when she opens it to find a white gold bracelet with charms that represent our first sweep experience together. A helicopter, a catamaran, a glider, a London black cab, the Eiffel Tower, a bed. Her forehead creases as she examines the sugar cone, and she glances up at me with a bemused expression. Vanilla? I offer with a sheepish shrug. She laughs.
Christian, this is beautiful. Thank you. It's Yar.
Her fingers fondle the small heart on the bracelet. It's a locket. I thought it appropriate, as I've never given anyone my heart before. Anna's been the one to unlock it, walk right in, and make herself at home there. Sappy Gray. You can put a picture or whatever in that.
A picture of you?
She peers at me through her lashes.
Always in my heart.
She makes me feel 10 feet tall. Her fingertips brush over the CNA letter charms that signify the two of us, then over the white gold key. She looks up again, a question burning in her bright blue eyes. To my heart and soul, I whisper. She lets out a strangled cry and launches herself at me, taking me by surprise as she throws her arms around my neck. I cradle her in my lap.
It's such a thoughtful present. I love it. Thank you.
Her voice breaks on the last word. Oh, baby. I tighten my arms around her.
I don't know what I'd do without you,
she says through her tears. I swallow, trying to digest her words and ignore the pang deep in my chest. Please don't cry. My voice is husky with emotion. I love that she needs me. She sniffs.
I'm sorry, I'm just so happy and sad and anxious at the same time. It's bittersweet.
Hey. I tip her head back and press my lips to hers. I understand.
I know,
she says with a sad smile. I wish we were in happier circumstances and at home, but we're here. I give her an apologetic hug. Neither of us could have foreseen this situation. Come, up you go. After breakfast, we'll check on Ray.
Okay.
Her smile is a little cheerier when I leave her so she can dress. In the living room, I order granola, yogurt, and berries for Anna. An omelet for me. It's gratifying to see that Anna's appetite has returned. She wolfs down her breakfast, a woman on a mission, but I don't comment. It's her birthday, and I want her happy. Actually, I want her happy pretty much all the time.
Thank you for ordering my favorite breakfast.
It's your birthday, and you have to stop thanking me.
I just want you to know that I appreciate it.
Anastasia. It's what I do. I want to take care of you. I've told you more than once. She smiles.
Yes, it is.
Once she's finished her breakfast, I ask as nonchalantly as possible if we should go. I'm excited to give her the car.
I'll just brush my teeth.
I smirk. Okay. The little V forms between her brows as she frowns. I think she suspects something's afoot, but she says nothing and heads to the bathroom. I text Taylor to let him know that we're leaving imminently. As we walk to the elevators, I notice that Anna is wearing her new charm bracelet. Grasping her hand, I kiss her knuckles. My thumb grazes the helicopter charm. You like?
More than like, I love it. Very much. Like you.
I kiss her fingers once more while we wait for the elevator. The elevator. Where it all started. Where I lost control. Seated control, Gray. Yes, she's had you on a tight leash since you met her. Anna's eyes flit to mine as we enter. Is she thinking what I'm thinking? Don't, I whisper as I push the button for the lobby and the doors slide shut.
Don't what?
She peeks at me through her lashes, coy and provocative at once. Look at me like that.
Fuck the paperwork,
she says with a wide grin. I laugh and tug her into my arms and tilt her face to mine. Someday, I'll rent this elevator for a whole afternoon.
Just the afternoon?
She raises an eyebrow, and it's a challenge. Mrs. Gray, you're greedy.
When it comes to you, I am.
I'm very glad to hear it. I plant a tender kiss on her lips, but as I pull away, Anna's fingers curl around the nape of my neck, pulling my mouth to hers. Her tongue is insistent, demanding access, and she pushes me against the wall, pressing her body against mine. I kiss her back as desire flares like a comet inside me. What I thought would be a courtly, respectful expression of affection becomes darker, needier, hotter. More. So much more. Her tongue is relentless, mating with mine. Fuck. I want her here in this elevator. Again. We kiss, tongues, lips, hands, all playing a role. My fingers tightening in her hair while her hands caress my face. Anna. I breathe, fighting my desire.
I love you, Christian Gray.
She's breathy and restless, her eyes full of promise.
Don't forget that.
The elevator stops, the doors open, and she puts some space between us. Hell. My blood is running fast and thick through my body. Let's go see your father before I decide to rent this today. I kiss her quickly and, taking her hand, head out into the lobby. I'm grateful that I'm wearing my jacket. The concierge sees us, and I give him a nod. Anna notices our exchange, but I give my girl my patented "I so own you and I've got a surprise for you" smile, and she frowns.
Where's Taylor?
She asks. We'll see him shortly.
Sawyer?
Running errands. We head outside and stop on the wide sidewalk. It's a beautiful late summer day. The trees on Broadway are in full leaf, but there's a hint of the coming fall in the air. There's no sign of Taylor. Anna looks up and down the street, following my lead.
What is it?
She asks. I lift my shoulders, trying for nonchalance, not wanting to give the game away. Then I hear it, the growl of the R8's throaty engine. Taylor steers the white pristine vehicle that is Anna's brand new Audi to a stop in front of us. Anna takes a step back, and in stunned disbelief looks from the car to me. Okay, last time I tried to give her a car, it didn't go so well. This could go either way. You said it, Anna. You can buy me one for my birthday, a white one. Happy birthday, I murmur, and from my pocket I produce the key. Her mouth drops open.
You are completely over the top.
Each word is a quiet staccato. Then she turns to admire the marvel of engineering parked at the curb. Her consternation is short-lived. Her face lights up, and she jumps up and down on the spot. She turns and barrels into my waiting arms. and I swing her around, delighted at her reaction.
You have more money than sense,
she cries.
I love it, thank you.
I dip her low, surprising her, so she gasps and grips my biceps. Anything for you, Mrs. Gray. I kiss her. Come, let's go see your dad.
Yes,
she exclaims. And I get to drive? Smiling down at her, and against my better judgment, I acquiesce. Of course, it's yours. I pull her to her feet, and she dances to the driver's door, which Taylor is holding open for her.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Gray.
He beams.
Thank you, Taylor.
She hugs him while I roll my eyes and climb into the passenger seat. Anna clambers in beside me and slides her hands around the steering wheel, grinning with glee as Taylor closes her door.
Drive safe, Mrs. Gray,
he says, his affection obvious despite the gruff tone. For some unfathomable reason, it makes me smile.
Will do,
Anna replies, buzzing with excitement. She puts the key in the ignition, and I tense beside her. I hate being driven, except by Taylor. But she knows this. Take it easy, I caution. Nobody chasing us now. She turns the key, and the R8 roars to life. Anna quickly adjusts the side and rearview mirrors, puts the car in drive, and pulls out into the street at a harrowing speed.
Whoa!
I cry out, clutching my seat.
What?
I don't want you in the ICU beside your father. Slow down. I yell, wondering if the R8 was a good idea. She slows immediately.
Better?
She gives me a dazzling smile. Much. I mutter, grateful that we're both still alive. Take it easy, Anna. 7 minutes later, we're in the hospital parking lot, and I've aged at least 10 years with each minute of the journey. My pulse must be at 180 BPM. Being driven by my wife is not for the faint of heart. Anna, you have to slow down. Don't make me regret buying you this. I glare at her as she turns off the ignition. Your dad is upstairs because he was involved in a car accident.
You're right,
she whispers, reaching over and clasping my hand.
I'll behave.
I want to say more, but I don't. It's her birthday, and her dad's in the ICU. And you bought her the car, Gray. Okay, good. Let's go. While Anna is visiting with Ray, I hole up in the waiting room and make some calls. First, Andrea.
Mr. Gray, good morning.
Good morning. What news?
Everyone is lined up to come to Portland. I'm liaising with Stefan later this morning. I'm still waiting to hear from the Heathmen, and if they can't source a cake, I've found a bakery in Portland that can do it today.
Good work.
Mr. and Mrs. Adams will take off at 10:30 this morning Pacific time. They should be in Portland by 4:30.
Do they know why we've moved the surprise party to Portland?
I haven't elaborated.
Good. I don't want Carla to spend the flight worrying about Ray. Andrea continues.
Mrs. Adams said she's deliberately not contacting Mrs. Gray to add to the surprise.
Okay. Let me know when they've left Savannah.
Will do.
Thanks for organizing all this.
It's a pleasure, sir. I hope Mr. Steele continues to improve.
We'll talk later. I hang up and open the email that has caught my attention.
From Gray Carrick to Christian Gray, September 10th, 2011, 9:37. Drunk driver, Astoria PD. Your mother says that Raymond Steele is in good hands. I'll be joining her later for Anna's birthday celebrations. With regard to the driver, I have some information which I'd rather talk you through, either in person or over the phone. See you this evening, son. Dad. Carrick Gray, partner. I call Carrick, but get his voicemail. I leave a message, then sit down and peruse the notes Roz has sent me regarding our meeting yesterday with the Huangs. Half an hour later, my dad calls.
Christian.
Dad, hello. You have news? I stare out at the Portland skyline.
I spoke with one of my contacts at the Astoria PD. The perpetrator's name is Jeffrey Lance. He's well known to the police, not only in Astoria, but also in southeast Portland, where he's from. He lives in a trailer park there. He was a long way from home. His blood alcohol level was 0.28%. What does that mean? I turn around. Unbeknownst to me, Anna has crept into the waiting room and is watching me warily. It means he was 3.5 times over the legal limit, Dad says, pulling me back into the conversation.
How far above the limit?
I don't believe it. Fucking drunks. I loathe them. From deep in that part of my brain that holds my most painful memories, the smell of stale Camel cigarette smoke, bourbon, and body odor seeps into my consciousness.
There you are, you little prick.
Fuck. The crack whore's pimp.
3.5 times, Dad mutters, disgusted.
I see. And it isn't his first offense. His driver's license was suspended, he has no insurance, the police are assessing all the charges, and his lawyer is trying to get a plea bargain, but all charges, everything. I interrupt. My blood's boiling. What an asshole. Anna's father is in the ICU. I want you to throw the fucking book at him, Dad.
Son, I can't get involved because of the family connection, but one of the women I work with specializes in this kind of law. With your permission, she can act on behalf of your father-in-law, and she'll press for the heaviest penalties.
I blow out a breath, trying to calm down.
Good, I mutter. I have to go, son. There's another call on the line. See you later. Keep me informed. Will do.
The other driver?
Anna asks when I've hung up.
Some drunken asshole from southeast Portland.
Her eyes widen, probably at my tone, but Jeffrey Lance deserves it. Taking a deep breath to calm myself, I amble over to her. Finished with Ray? Do you want to go?
No.
She looks anxious. What's wrong?
Nothing. Ray's being taken to radiology for a CAT scan to check the swelling in his brain. I'd like to wait for the results.
Okay, we'll wait. Sitting down, I hold out my arms and she climbs into my lap. I stroke her back and inhale the scent of her hair. It's soothing. This is not how I envisaged spending today. I murmur against her temple.
Me neither, but I'm feeling more positive now. Your mom was very reassuring. It was kind of her to come last night.
My mom is an amazing woman. I continue caressing her back and rest my chin on her head.
She is. You're very lucky to have her.
I couldn't agree more, Anna.
I should call my mom. Tell her about Ray,
she says. Uh-oh. At this moment, her mom should be en route to Portland.
I'm surprised she hasn't called me.
She frowns, and I feel a little guilty about my subterfuge.
Maybe she did, I offer.
Anna fishes her phone out of her pocket, but finds no missed calls. She looks through her texts, and from what I can see, she's received birthday wishes from her friends, but as I suspected, nothing from her mother. She shakes her head. Call her now, I say, knowing she won't get a reply. Anna does, but she soon hangs up.
She's not there. I'll call later when I know the results of the brain scan.
Drawing her closer, I kiss her hair. I long to tell her, but that would blow the surprise. My own phone buzzes. Without letting go of Anna, I tug it out of my pocket.
Andrea?
Mr. Gray, just to let you know that Mr. and Mrs. Adams took off from Savannah 15 minutes ago.
Good.
Taylor is primed to pick them up from the airport.
ETA is what time?
I don't want Anna and me to run into them at the hotel.
At present, 4:35.
And the other,
I glance down at Anna, not wanting to give the game away. Packages?
They're all set. Your father is driving down. Your brother, sister, Kate, and Ethan Kavanaugh will be flying down with Stefan. They can't leave until 5:30 because of your sister's new job, but they should be with you by 6:30.
Does the Heathman have all the details?
Rooms have been booked for all of them.
Dinner is booked for 12 people at 7:30. They are offering the full menu and a cake, chocolate, as requested.
Good.
Roz wanted to know if you got her notes on the shipyard deal. If you're happy with them, she can send the heads of agreement for signing.
Yes. It can hold until Monday morning, but email it just in case. I'll print, sign, and scan it back to you.
Samir and Helena have an HR issue they want to discuss, and Marco needs 2 minutes.
They can wait. Go home, Andrea. I think I hear her smile on the end of the phone.
Is there anything else you need? I'm on my cell if you do.
No, we're good. Thank you. I hang up.
Everything okay?
Anna asks. Yes.
Is this your Taiwan thing?
Yes.
Am I too heavy?
As if.
No, baby.
She asks me if I'm worried about the Taiwan deal, and I assure her I'm not.
I thought it was important.
It is. The shipyard here depends on it. There are lots of jobs at stake. We just have to sell it to the unions. That's Sam and Roz's job. But the way the economy's heading, none of us have a lot of choice. Anna yawns. Am I boring you, Mrs. Gray? Amused, I kiss her hair once more.
No, never. I'm just very comfortable on your lap,
she murmurs.
I like hearing about your business.
You do?
Of course. I like hearing any bit of information you deign to share with me.
She smirks, and I know she's teasing me. Always hungry for more information, Mrs. Gray.
Tell me.
She rests her head against my chest again. Tell you what?
Why you do it?
Do what?
Work the way you do.
I snort, amused, because it's obvious, isn't it? A guy's gotta earn a living.
Christian, you earn more than a living,
she says, her eyes as guileless as ever, demanding the truth. I don't want to be poor. I've done that. I'm not going back there again. The hunger, the insecurity, the vulnerability, the fear. Gray, lighten up, it's her birthday. Besides, it's a game. It's about winning. A game I've always found very easy.
Unlike life,
she mutters, almost to herself. Yes, I suppose. I've never thought of it that way. I smile at her. Perceptive, Mrs. Gray. Though it's easier with you. She hugs me.
It can't all be a game. You're very philanthropic.
I shrug. About some things, maybe. Anna, don't lionize me. I can afford to be generous.
I love philanthropic Christian,
she whispers. Just him?
Oh, I love megalomaniac Christian, too. And control freak Christian, sexpertise Christian, kinky Christian, romantic Christian, shy Christian. The list is endless.
That's a whole lot of Christians.
I'd say at least 50.
I laugh. 50 shades. I whisper into her hair.
My 50 shades.
I sit back, tip her head up, and kiss her. Well, Mrs. Shades, let's see how your dad is doing.
Okay.
Dr. Sluter has good news. The swelling in Ray's brain has subsided, so she's decided to wake him from his coma tomorrow morning.
I'm pleased with his progress. He's come a long way in a short period of time. His recovery is proceeding well. It's all good, Mrs. Gray. Thank you, doctor.
Anna gushes, her eyes shining with gratitude. I take Anna's hand. Let's go get some lunch.
Can we go for a drive?
She asks as she starts the ignition. Sure, it's your birthday. We can do anything you want. For a moment, I'm transported to a parking lot in Seattle, where an insatiable Anna took matters into her own hands. She stares at me, her eyes darkening.
Anything?
Her voice is husky. Anything, I offer.
Well.
Her tone is seductive.
I want to drive.
Then drive, baby. We grin at each other like the fools we are, and I resist the urge to pounce on her. Behave, Gray.
Anna steers us out of the lot, and at a sedate speed that keeps my blood pressure normal, she takes us to I-5. Once there, she puts her foot down, throwing us back into our seats. Damn, she was lulling me into a false sense of security. Anna, steady, baby. I warn, and she slows down. We cruise over the bridge. Luckily, the traffic is light. I stare down at the Willamette River and remember all the times I went running along its banks when I stayed in Portland during my pursuit of Miss Anastasia Steele. And now here we are, and she's Mrs. Anastasia Gray.
Have you planned lunch?
She asks. No. You're hungry? I hear the hope in my voice.
Yes.
Where do you want to go? It's your day, Anna.
I know just the place.
She diverts off I-5, back across the river, and into downtown Portland. Eventually, she pulls up outside the restaurant where we ate after Jose Rodriguez's photography exhibition, the day I won her back. For 1 minute, I thought you were going to take me to that dreadful bar you drunk-dialed me from. I tease her.
Why would I do that?
To check the azaleas are still alive? I give her a sideways look, and she blushes. Oh, yes, baby. You vomited at my feet.
Don't remind me. Besides, you still took me to your hotel room.
Smirking, she lifts her chin in that stubborn, triumphant way that she has. Best decision I ever made.
Yes, it was.
She leans over and kisses me. Do you think that supercilious fucker is still waiting tables? I ask.
Supercilious? I thought he was fine.
He was trying to impress you.
Well, he succeeded.
Anna, you're too easily impressed.
Shall we go see?
She says, amused. Lead on, Mrs. Gray. I pinch the bridge of my nose. For the last couple of hours, I've been working in the confines of the ICU waiting room. Anna has been at Ray's bedside since we returned from lunch. Last time I checked, she was reading to him. She's a kind and considerate daughter. He must have been a wonderful father to inspire such devotion. I've read through the shipyard heads of agreement, and I have a list of questions, which I've emailed to Roz. I'm not signing anything until we've spoken, but all that can wait until Monday at the earliest. My phone buzzes. It's Taylor calling to say he's delivered Anna's mother and her husband to the Heathman. I check the time, noting it's just after 5 p.m. Carla needs to know about Ray. I can't put that off any longer. Reluctantly, I call the hotel and ask to be put through to the Adams' room. I'm not looking forward to this.
Hello?
Carla answers. I take a deep breath. Carla, it's Christian.
Christian?
She gushes.
We had such a wonderful flight over here. Thank you so much.
I'm glad you had a pleasant journey. I have some bad news, though.
Oh no, is Anna okay?
Anna's fine. It's Ray. He was involved in a car accident, and he's in the ICU here in Portland. That's why we're in Portland and not Seattle. His condition is improving, though he's in an induced coma at the moment, but he'll be coming out of it tomorrow.
Oh no,
she breathes.
How's Anna?
She's holding up, and because all the news from the ICU is good, I thought we'd go ahead and celebrate her birthday.
Yes, yes, of course.
I thought you should know before this evening, but I'd still like to keep your arrival a surprise.
Yes, yes,
she says.
I've deliberately not called or texted Anna to keep the surprise.
I appreciate that, and I'm sorry to be the bearer of this news. It must be upsetting.
No, Christian, thank you for telling me. I'm very fond of Ray.
I'll see you later this evening.
Yes, you will. Bye for now.
She hangs up. That was not as bad as I anticipated. It's time to go back to the hotel. I pack up my laptop, then stand and stretch. These are not the most comfortable seats. Anna is still reading off her phone to Ray. I watch from the end of the bed as she caresses his hand and glances at him occasionally, her love light burning bright. She notices me as Nurse Kelly approaches. It's time to go, Anna, I say gently. She tightens her hold on Ray's hand, making it clear she doesn't want to leave him. I want to feed you. Come, it's late. I insist.
I'm about to give Mr. Steele a sponge bath,
Nurse Kelly says.
Okay.
Anna acquiesces.
We'll be back tomorrow morning.
Leaning over, she kisses Ray's cheek. She's quiet and thoughtful as we walk across the parking lot. Do you want me to drive? I ask. Her face whips to mine.
No, I'm good,
she says, and opens the driver's door. There's my girl. I grin and climb in beside her. In the elevator, she's quiet again. Her mind is with Ray, I'm sure of it. Wrapping her in my arms, I offer her the only comfort I can. Me, and the warmth of my body. I hold her close as we travel up to our floor. I thought we'd dine downstairs, in a private room. I open the door to our suite and usher her in.
Really? Finished what you started a few months ago?
Anna raises a brow. If you're very lucky, Mrs. Gray. She laughs.
Christian, I don't have anything dressy to wear.
Oh, ye of little faith, Anna. In the bedroom, I open the closet door. There, hanging where Sawyer said it would be,